For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome everyone. So part of the process of getting ready for the holidays is something called purity. Purity is a little bit tough to explain because it's a little bit like unclean, but it's not unclean in a physical way. It's unclean in a spiritual way. And just like when you get clean, you feel better, you know, if a person's dirty or they haven't showered in a long time and they feel so clean. And so too, if a person has either they've sinned or they haven't been in the right environment, there's certain kinds of events that you go to that you just feel. It says that when Esther was getting ready to talk to Ahasuerus to plead for her people, she was all psyched up. She fasted for 3 days and she prayed, and she it says that Hashem, actually his spirit rested on her. She was so holy, like she became like a prophetess, and Hashem was with her. And then she came into the palace, and before you got into the palace, they had the gods, you know, the idols. And then God, Hashem's spirit left her because he doesn't hang around where those idols are. They're very impure. And so that's when she, in Tehillim, where she said, Hashem, my Hashem, my Hashem, where'd you go? You know, have you left me? I need you. You see that in Egypt, that Hashem, Moshe always went outside the city to speak to Hashem, so to speak. Like when a person is around idols, it's difficult to pray. It's like if you're in an unclean place, you can't pray. If it's spiritually unclean, if there are idols there, if there are other things. So part of getting ready for Pesach is trying to get that level of purity. And that's the symbolism of Parshas Parah. And the Parah was the cow. So there's a few ideas here. First, the same thing that a person sinned with, they try to fix. Meaning if a person loses their temper a lot, so then the way they fix that is they learn to be calm in a stressful situation. So they've totally fixed what they did wrong. It's very easy to be calm when you're sleeping, you know? but to be calm when you the same kind of situation where before you would have gotten angry, and now you've worked on yourself and you don't get angry. So we sinned with a cow, with a golden calf. The Jewish people sinned, and therefore the purification came about through a calf. They use a funny metaphor. Funny is that the cow is a young calf, and the para is a mother calf. And it always says the mother has to go clean up after the children. Certain things haven't changed. I don't know, but that's the metaphor of the. So it begins like this. This is in Yecheskel. Vayhi dvar Hashem Eli Lemor, and the word of Hashem came to me saying, Ben Adam, son of man. And we talked about this before. He had such an interesting nickname, Ben Adam, the son of man. It can be a compliment or it can be not a compliment, depending on how you want to look at it. On the one hand, we're the son of a flesh and blood, which means of people that have sinned, that make mistakes. On the other hand, Adam was a very great person. So, you know, he was the original man was created by God himself. So this is what he says, though. Beis Yisrael, the house of the Israel, Yoshman al-Masim, they're on their land, Vitama osem bedarchem. They've gone on the wrong path, and they've made themselves impure, and ubalilosam, and with their idols, and their doings, ketuma sanida haise darchem, it's an impurity. Now, there's different kinds of impurity. There's temporary impurity, and there's long-term impurity. Impurity that's what Tumas Sanida is a temporary impurity. And so Hashem is saying they have an impurity, but it can be cleaned, it can be cleansed. The person can purify themselves from that. The 18. Ve'eshbo chamasi aleichem. But there are certain, sometimes you can fix a sin Or you can, if a person has contaminated themselves with sin, all they need to do is turn to Hashem and change their ways, and they can fix everything. And then other times, there's certain things you can't fix. If you person Chas v'Shalom killed somebody, you can't fix that. You know, if you killed somebody, that's, you know, you person spilled blood. How do you give that back? You can't bring that person back to life. And so if people sinned in that way, that they were guilty of bloodshed, they have a difficult road ahead as far as turning back to Hashem. So Hashem says that they, in their society, they spilled blood. They were guilty of spilling blood. 18. Haladam asher shafu, the blood that was spilled. In Judaism, we don't always know if it was real blood. We believe even if you embarrass somebody publicly, that's also considered like spilling blood. It's like we're sensitive to spiritual embarrassment or sensitivity. That there are people that are shamed. It's interesting. Our society has become familiar with. They created a term. I think it's called like body shaming, where certain people would shame somebody who was gaining weight, an actress or something, and they would shame them on the internet and say, look at that heavy person, or so-and-so is gaining weight. They show a picture that's not flattering. And so they created a term called like body shaming. And if you catch somebody doing that, it's like then everybody turns it around and says, oh, this person's a bully. That's a terrible thing that they're shaming. Like the, so it's like they're becoming sensitive that it's really not right to embarrass people. Like, isn't the, seen it in body shame. I think they have a few other words for something like shaming or like the, it is a significant thing. So there's the shedding of blood, and then there's the embarrassing of people. And idol worship always involves shedding of. They had human sacrifices, and there was bloodshed involved in it, and that caused a great impurity. Even if the idol only had one human sacrifice, if the people went to worship there. If once every 7 years they would, you know, slaughter a baby or whatever, sacrifice a child, and somebody worshiped that, so they'd be guilty of that bloodshed because they were endorsing that. We have a tradition that most Jews didn't really believe in the idols, but they were a lot of fun. Idolatry was it was enjoyable for people. They had drugs. And they had the prostitution and orgies and all kinds of things. They had food. They had and people would go and have a really, you know, wild party. And they would a lot of Jews were attracted not so much because they really thought that these were the gods, but it was kind of fun to go to these, you know, these ceremonies. They could do things that as Jews they could never do, and they were told this was how you serve the gods. And so the people had become impure with that. Verse 19. V'afetzo sam b'goyim. Hashem said, well, if you're going to act like goyim, then you don't deserve to live in the land of Israel. And he spread them out amongst the nations. It's interesting word. We're dispersed. Jews are everywhere. Like, they're not in one place. Like, you know, some nations were all dispersed to one place. Jews are like all over. V'yizu b'artzeh darim v'aliu sam shvatim. And then they were judged there. And that implies that when we, it's interesting because we're in America, we're like so far from Israel, like our ancestors went into Golis some 2,000 years ago. They probably went to Africa, and then they went to Spain, and then they got kicked out of Spain, and then they went to maybe England or France, and then they got kicked out of England or France, and then maybe they went to Germany, then they went to Russia, and they got kicked out of it. And so somehow, like, we're at the end of that process, like our ancestors were like wandering the world looking for a hospitable country to take them in. And Hashem is saying here in verse 19, that's what's going to happen, is the Jews are going to be scattered all around, and they'll be judged there. And in some countries, we've been punished, and we've had difficult exiles because we didn't do what we were supposed to. We're supposed to be an example to the countries to try to help lead them and do the right things. Verse 20, and the Jews that were there didn't sanctify my name. These people are the people of Hashem, and Mar, they left their land. Verse 20, Hashem says, I'm worried about my name. In other words, ultimately, people need to learn how to serve Hashem, and either we're going to teach the nations about Hashem in the right ways, or Hashem will have to intervene in life to teach the world about His ways. Bagoyim Asher Bo Shamu. Verse 22, L'kein emor levez yitzhak this, and therefore say to the house of Israel, he's talking to Yechasel, Ko Amar Hashem, lo leman kam ani osa beis Yisrael. Hashem, in the end, when he gathers us in, it won't be just for the Jewish people. Maybe we'll be worthy of it, maybe not. We're coming to a time where most Jews don't even know what it means to be a Jew. It's just really, it's shocking. You know, that somehow I felt like when I grew up, at least most people knew they were Jewish, or but I see some of my nieces and nephews and their families, they have no background, no clue, they don't belong to anything. They don't feel, you know, yeah, they say, yeah, I'm Jewish, apparently, what does it mean? I don't know, you know, do they, I mean, we used to go to, you know, at least in the old days, people would go to services a few times a year, you know, they have Passover, they had some. Today's young people, a lot of them don't even have that. They're of Jewish descent. They know what it is. They don't know what it is. But it's Hashem said, when time comes, it's not so much because maybe they don't even want to be redeemed. Maybe they're happy living where they are. But Hashem says, but what about my name? What about what's going on in the world? There's so much evil in the world. There's so much wrong. There are countries where people bribe their way in and they take advantage. You know, these African dictators, they have these big bank accounts and their people are starving and they're corrupt. And, you know, apparently South America is that way too. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but you keep on hearing it how, you know, Brazil was like everything, the policeman, the hospital, you got to pay into everything to get in. You know, person needs to go, wants a doctor to see him. They got to rub, you know, they got to bribe somebody. They go to the hospital, the doctor, the policeman, everything is like, and a lot of those places, they need to learn about Hashem. They need to learn what's right and wrong. Asher Bo Shama. Verse 22, L'chein emor lev, tell the house of Israel, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, I'm not doing this because I'm doing it for my holy name, that you've profaned Hashem's name and these countries where you came to. Verse 23, V'kidashti Yishmiya Gadol, I will sanctify my great name, Hamachul Bagoyim Asher Chilaltim, that's been profaned there. We've heard this, we turn to 12:17 about what's called the Chil Hashem. V'yodu Hagoyim Keni Hashem Numa, and then when the time comes, when we get ready for redemption, all the world will know about Hashem and my holy name, Bechemle, in front of your eyes. 24, L'kachti Meskem in Hagoyim, and I will take you from the nations. This term is used when in the Parsha when he takes us out of Egypt. I will take you. It's also used when a person like takes a bride or takes a mate. They take them. So Hashem will take us. He will lead us, so to speak. He'll take us. Hashem will take us from the. It's almost like we won't come on our own, but He'll take us. And I'll gather you. This is the same word as kibbutz, kibatzti. I'll gather you. Kibatzti yeskem mikol ha'aretz. I'll gather you from all the nations. Va'viyesi yeskem, and I'll bring you elad moskem. What's interesting is it could be that process started because Jews are coming from all over the world and they're coming back. You know, we're scattered everywhere. You just go to Israel. It's really amazing how many different parts of the world people came from. When you go to Israel, like you meet Jews from every continent, from every place, and they're there. Whether it be, you know, the former Soviet Union, whether it be Africa, whether it be the Muslim countries, whether it be the Western countries, they have today the observant people. You can go to places in Israel where it's like you're in America. You know, it's like little America. You speak all your neighbors speak English, and you know it's there's just communities from all over. The Zerucholim, but in order to become purified, we need to get what's called like to be sprinkled with the purifying waters. Part of the purification process was when they had the paraduma, the red heifer, is that there was people would get sprinkled with a little bit of the water. The nations have copied us with the they do a little bit of that sprinkling in some of the other religions. I don't know what they call it. Baptist, or is it Baptist?
Baptism.
Yeah. They get it from us. That's where John got it from. But, mm-hmm. We need to be sprinkled from Hashem. And, he's going to put purified waters on us and it'll help us get rid of all our impurity. Most people, if they, we believe that there's a goodness inside people. We know it because sometimes we know like family members that are really good people, and you wonder how they get mixed up in stuff, you know, because you know how they started. There, you know, there's certain goodness to them, but they get impure. They're around a lot of bad examples, and if you could get rid of that impurity, then they would be their good inner self. So Hashem says, "I'm going to help you remove all that stuff. Mekol Gululechem, and all the idols, I will purify you." 26. So this is interesting. Rabbi Wein talks about this. The metaphor here is for a heart transplant. The heart is the most important organ of the body. A person can't function without a heart. I think heart disease is one of the big killers. And when the prophet said this metaphor of getting a heart transplant, they didn't know how to do that. They medically, it hasn't been done. There are other kinds of things, you know, cesarean section and minor surgeries that they did in ancient times and were lost over the Dark Ages. But heart transplants, as far as we know, it hasn't been done. It's never been, it's like a brain tumor, you know, no one. But today, we can do that. People get heart transplants. If their heart is of stone, meaning it's like blocked up, it doesn't pump the blood because the arteries are hard, they can give somebody a brand new heart that can function better. We believe just like the heart is the physical organ of the body that pumps all the blood, there's also a spiritual heart. All the poetry, you know, I love you with all my heart. It doesn't mean that the physical heart loves you. It means what motivates you, what pumps, what keeps you alive, what makes you active. That's that physical part. Sometimes, in order to serve Hashem properly, we're going to need a transplant. We're going to need a new heart. So Hashem says, 26, Nasati lecham, I've got for you, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a brand new one. And not only that, you'll get a new spirit, whatever that means. But sometimes springtime you feel that. All of a sudden you get new energy. You know, it's a nice day. All of a sudden you get somehow your energy comes back and you could do stuff. But you have to pray for that. I'll give it to you. Now, if you get a new heart, you got to get rid of the old one too. So Hashem says, no problem. I'll take care of that. I'll get rid of the stone heart. Mibsarm nesatukha, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. There was a famous rabbi who was a Holocaust survivor who was given this Haftorah and was reading this, and he broke down when he read this Haftorah. And they asked him what was so sad. And he said that he saw his family butchered. He saw his dear friends butchered. He saw the most awful things during the war. And he said there's no way that a person who has a heart of flesh and blood could survive that, could live with themselves. But Hashem turned his heart to stone. After a while, people, when they experience tragedy, after a while, it doesn't affect them in the same. They're like, they're
hardened.
They're hardened. Yeah, that's very good. That's the word we use. Their heart is hard. So he says that, but that's not, a person really should be sensitive. They're not supposed to be hardened, but unfortunately, that's what being in those, in war and seeing those kind of, so, he read this, that Hashem is going to give him a new heart, and he felt like he had a heart of stone, because after seeing and living through what he did, that he doesn't know how he could continue living when as he was going through those things. But Hashem promises that we all get a new one. 27. I'll give you a spirit inside you, and then when we have a new spirit and we get a new start over, then we'll do the statutes, and we'll do all the things. Paraduma has certain things we don't understand how they work. It's interesting that some of the people that are involved in the sprinkling would become impure, and then other people who were sprinkled on would become pure. So how could the same ashes make some people impure and some people pure? That's a statute. We don't really understand it. King Solomon was trying to figure that one out. The reality is, though, in life, there are certain things that turn people, that will turn some people on and turn some people off. That's the way humans are. That there are, you know, but that's why it's called a statute, though. You'll go in my ways, umishpetei tishmu, and you do my laws, v'sisem, v'yashavtem ba'aretz asher nesate, and you will dwell in the land that I gave me your forefathers, v'yisem li la'am. But you won't just dwell in there as any people, you'll be my people. V'anochi, and I will be your God. Now, obviously, Hashem is always our God, but we'll have a personal relationship. 29, and I'll save you from impurity. And Hashem will bring the land back to life, and there'll be grain, and there'll be wheat. And I'm not going to bring you back there. You know, when people didn't want to go back to Israel, they said it's a third world country. How will people survive there? They're doing okay. They're doing amazing, really, when you think about it. And, you know, when Israel first started, people were just wondering if they would ever support themselves there, if they'd ever. Now, the funny thing today, Israel's helping us. You know, they're helping Jewish communities today. But they're not starving. That's what Hashem said he would do. Verse 30, Barbasius, Piri, Eitz, and the trees will grow, Tuvasad, Laman. It doesn't mention the computer startups, but I'm sure that's included, right? The Laman, Asher, Lalach, Od, Kherfus, Rabbaga. You won't know the feeling of hunger anymore amongst the nations. 31. Part of when a person starts on the good path, they have to remember the things that they did wrong that put them in a bad way. And a person has to know not to go back down that path. And a person will realize that Hashem did the things that we underwent were because of our mistakes and our sins. 32. Hashem saying that, and this sometimes we have to pray for it. Ultimately, we want the world to be a place where the name of Hashem is known, where we want it, where good things happen, and people understand the ways of goodness and kindness and love doing away with evil. And so, ultimately that's why the redemption will come. Not so much because we need it. You know, we want to be, it's true, we want to be together with our family. And it's true that we're tired of sinning and we want to be holy and we want to do, but ultimately what we also want is we want the world to know the ways of Hashem. So that's that's what he says here. Third, lo lamai, I'm not doing this for you. Hilchem boshi v'cham adarim, because we maybe won't have earned it. And there is this discussion that there's two ways to bring Mashiach. One way is if we've earned it. If we've done what we're supposed to, Mashiach is coming. You know, there's no question. If we get it all right, but sometimes there's another way Mashiach will come where it'll just become clear that he's not going to come because we bring him. It'll come because, Hashem decides that the world needs to know about Hashem. I heard a great Purim story. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro was a great rabbi in Israel who passed away three weeks ago. So what happened, they said that one Purim, he had somebody who was a student of his who was had a lot of bad luck, you know, throughout his life, like nothing worked out for him. He had trouble making a living. He had health issues. He had family trouble. There's some people like that. There's a term like that in Yale. I think they call it a lo nitzlach, like somebody who's not successful, or a nebuch. You know, somehow certain people, like, we don't understand that, you know, so they're just as intelligent as we are. They're just as good, just as sweet, but they just have everything they do. They just, nothing seems to work for them. So this person came to the Purim meal, and he looked depressed because, you know, the people, if they have health issues, they have family issues, they have nothing, they're not making enough money, everything is a problem, right? So everybody was very happy. It was Purim. They were rejoicing. And he was like sitting at the back of the table, kind of, just looking kind of depressed. So Rabbi Shapiro told a story. He said the following. He said, let's picture for a second. The Mashiach's going to come. You know, we've been waiting for him, the leader, the house of David, the great person, the messenger of Hashem. He's going to come and he's going to help lead us back to him. And we're all going to want to greet him. We talk about greeting the Mashiach. The Gemara used to say, if you ever had a question, hold it for the Mashiach. You know, we all have our questions. There are certain questions that we're not going to get answered until the Mashiach. So he comes, he's going to get asked lots of questions. We got questions when we want to meet him. So they're going to wait in line. And this one's going to say, I'm a great teacher. I have lots of students. I'm a Rosh Hashiva. And another one's going to say, I did so many good deeds and I did this and I did that. I'm nice to meet you. And this one will say, look what I've done, this and that. And this is who I am. And I'm successful. I employed a lot of people. I did a lot of good things. And he'll go through the line of people. And then he'll meet this one fellow who's at the back of the table. And he'll say, who are you? And this fellow who's hard luck and this person will say, I'm the one that brought you. Meaning that the Mashiach will, we don't really know how to value people, but when a person struggles, if they do the right things, in Hashem's book, that may be just the thing that'll solve the world's problems. In other words, we don't need thousands of people to do the right thing. We don't, sometimes just one person who's struggling and he just makes the best of what he does, it could be that he'll be the one to bring the Mashiach. And, it's just a question. The reason why people get depressed are they think it doesn't matter, the fact that they're struggling and that, but in Hashem's book, he pays attention to our struggles. And it might make the difference in the world if a person struggles and they come out on top and they don't allow themselves to sink and they don't, they keep at it and they, and so that's the, hopefully though that will bring the Mashiach.
Is that right? When we talk about the scale,
That tips the scale. That's right. That's that idea. But that's one of the reasons we don't count people, because we don't know what people's worth are. We don't know what, you know, it could be that one person who chose not to give up and keep on trying and to get just to wake up in the morning and get himself, you know, do, you know, the, or to overcome their sickness or their issues or whatever it is. It could be that strength that they exhibit is what in Hashem's book says, wow, you know, that's, the world is a better place because of what that person's doing. People don't realize that because you don't get an award for that. You don't get famous because you're keeping at, in fact, the person feels like they're failing. Why? Because they're not famous. They're not rich. They're not well known. They don't have this, you know, XYZ. But, Hashem has a different way of judging things. That's correct, right? The hidden people. That's correct. We believe there's like the world exists because of, you know, and there was a famous Hasidic Rebbe used to say, if you think you're one of those people, then you're not. So they themselves don't even realize that the world stands on their merit. That's really the, but people have to be aware that it does matter. You know, sometimes people think it's just, you know, we're in such a world where if you're not famous and people don't, you know, that you just feel like you don't count. But that's not Hashem's book. Hashem has a whole different way of judging, you know, who's important in his book. Okay, 33. On that day where I purify you, I'll rebuild the cities. The land of Israel that was desolate now is going to start to become fruitful again. And everybody who passes by is going to see it. This desolate land now is so beautiful. And again, you can start to see this in Israel. The places where people settle there are beautiful, and it was desolate. They were desert, and now it's being rebuilt. And there were cities that were destroyed and abandoned, and the Shambas and Rasas, but Tsuros, Yeshava, they're rebuilt. 37. And all the world that lives around there, and the Arabs are starting to realize that. They don't understand. They've been trying for years, and their countries are a mess, and their civilizations are a mess. And then they look at Israel and they're so jealous. Like how do they do it? Ki ani Hashem banisi, because Hashem says, I've rebuilt the land that was destroyed. Natati haneshama, and he plants the soul into the land. Ani Hashem dibarti vesisi. I, Hashem, have spoken, and that's what I will do. Okay, thank you. And so
it says down here.
Oh, they continue. Oh, you're correct. There's a. I don't know. I'm missing everything today. What would I do without you? Thank you. We got one more verse. Komar, this is what.
What was going on with you yesterday?
Yeah, you're right. I probably had one or two too much, but this is what Hashem says. Odzos edrus lebeis Yisrael lasos lehem arbos. I will increase you just like the flocks. Sheep. The flocks are amazing. People start off with a few sheep, and then all of a sudden they start. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, like they just multiply like sheep. You know, it's like Hashem said the Jewish people is going to be like that. And sometimes you feel like that. You go to places where there was a small community, and all of a sudden there's more and more and more. Like, where'd they all come from? You know, like so Hashem says that's what he's going to do. Kitzon kachim, kitzon, the holy flocks, kitzon yishalayim, bo'ada, kentia ha'irma, and these cities will fill up. They'll be filled up with flocks of people, and then the whole world will know kieni Hashem.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.